Morning, church. Oh, what a beautiful song. I haven't heard that one for a long time. Can you reach my friend? You're the only one who can. He might give his heart to you tonight. I hope you resonate with that? Do you have friends that need Jesus? Do you know why you're here? Introduce them to Jesus and pray for them. We don't have wind back there, so I was kind of switching back to the slides. Hopefully they'll be working. If not, I'm going to ask Mr. Peter to help us out here. Wonderful, wonderful. We can't save anybody. Is it true? We're not the Savior. Doesn't that take a little burden off? We can just introduce our friends to Jesus and say, I love you, I care for you, but there's one who cares more. I might be able to give you a 100 NT, but there's someone who has more. I can pray for your health, but I can't heal you. But I have a friend. I have a friend in Jesus. So welcome, welcome to New Life Church. My name is Pastor Leroy, and it's so good to see some people went to the hospital this morning and said, I remember when you were there, and they found their way here. So let people know where we are here, this beautiful location at Primacy, so close to the MRT. What a blessing. What a blessing. Today is a special day. You know what day it is? It is? A little louder? Now, what do you hear in that date? Do you hear anything, Seventh-day Adventist Christians, today? Do you hear anything in the date? You hear? March. March. Today is a new month, but March 4th means you have a direction. You have a goal, and you have a group that you're marching with, right? It's hard to march by yourself. You know, some people like to march to their own drum, they say. But as a church, we need to march together in God's purposes and God's plan. And so this is a special day, March 4th, to inspire us to move, to reach someone for Jesus. Now, there is some holidays that are not official. And this is one of those. March 4th is not a national holiday, but every time the date comes up, it triggers something in my mind. And I like to encourage the church and inspire us to be about the mission that God has called us to do. And so March 4th helps us avoid what? Uh-oh. As students, if it wasn't for that deadline, would anything get done? Teachers. If you didn't have to stand in front of that class, would you get your lesson plans done just because they're good to do? There's so much need, but you need a deadline. You need a focus to achieve something. And I'm a procrastinator, I have to say. But Sabbath comes around every week, ready or not. You've got to preach something. You've got to share. And today, I'm going to try not to get off topic because I've got a lot of slides to cover. So stay with me, buckle in. And maybe write a couple notes. We don't want to be procrastinators, do we? And we also want to be motivated. Now, there's one thing. The world talks about self-motivation just because it's the right thing to do. But how many know that doesn't really work so well? We need the Holy Spirit. We have an energy and a motivation different than the world. And so while they say, oh, just help yourself and actualize, we have the power of God as Christians to move under His direction and control. And so motivation can be hard to find these days. It's hard to achieve your goals. But March 4th can help us with that. Now, we've been talking in February about things that can be shaken. We talked about an earthquake. And in Turkey, and many things, floods in New Zealand, and all kinds of things, deaths in our church family. I'm glad, Brother Pierre, that you prayed for the three that are still grieving. We're not moving on. We're just giving that grief to God. We say we can't console that. We can't cover it, but we can hug one another in God's name and give Him the peace. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be what? Cannot be shaken. And so we talked about foundation and how God's Word and how Jesus is the rock, the only foundation. Now, here's the thing. We're going to take a little challenge for us today. And that is, Jesus is the rock. We're receiving a foundation. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Buildings, anything temporal of this world, anything man-made can be shaken, but your faith in God's Word cannot be shaken because it's grounded on Jesus, the rock. With Him at my right hand, David says, I will not be shaken. I don't see Sister Rachel today, but one of her favorite psalms is Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of God. And in that law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that is what? Planted by the rivers of water. And it will bear its fruit. It'll be flourishing. It'll be fruitful. Here's the thing. You don't want to be shaken. Christ is the rock. You don't want to be moved, right? So we sing. Do you know this song? I Shall Not Be Moved. I'm going to sing it, and you can join me if you like. A good song. It says, God sings, the Lord is mighty in us, in the midst of us. He will save, He will rejoice over us with singing. Amen. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. In His love? In His love I'm hiding. I shall not be moved. In His word abiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. We're not going to sing the other ones, but glory hallelujah, I shall not be moved, anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. What's the next one? The tempest what? Rages, I shall not be moved. And the rock of ages, amen, I shall not be moved, just like a tree. And one, even though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. We can sing this, and I believe it, dear friends, and yet I have a challenge for you. When we believe all of that, Jesus, is He a movable rock or an immovable rock? Huh? That rock that was with the children of Israel followed them. He led them by the pillar and He followed them. The rock is immovable in a sense because He is the rock, cannot be shaken, unchangeable. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, when the children were going, every day they would turn around and say, there's that rock again. This is our source of water. This is our shelter. This is our protection. And so while it's tempting to think, because I have an unshakable faith, it's based on the rock of Jesus, foundation of the Word of God, I won't be shaken. The temptation, friends, is to say, I will not change. I will not go. Here I stand, I can do no other. It's one thing, and it's important to stand for truth when that is important. But we are people on the move, aren't we? We're a movement, not a settlement. And so while we sing, I shall not be moved, there are things that should move us into action. Move us to reach across the aisle. Reach across the country. Help financially. Help physically. We have to be people with an unshakable, unmovable faith, but a desire to be pilgrims and strangers and go where God wants us to go. The theme of the world church is, I will go. How does that relate to an immovable person? If you can't do anything different than you've ever done before, we have to be constantly,
The God's word is unchangeable, but his methods and his movement are constantly changing. And so we need to be flexible in our thinking, open-minded, and ready to go when God wants us to go. When he calls, I will answer. Yes, that rock was Christ. Immovable rock? Yes, but always with you. Which means we are on a
mission.
On a mission. We are. Now, any chocolate lovers in the group? You like chocolate? Have you ever heard of Laura Secord chocolate? Laura Secord in Canada. We celebrate her life. She was a woman on a mission. And her mission was to alert us that those nasty Americans were coming in 1812 and going to overrun our country. So Canada has a sweet spot for Laura Secord. Long before her name was synonymous with chocolate, she played a crucial role in Canada's success in the War of 1812. Hearing American officers discussing their intention to ambush a British outpost and capture its commanding officer, Secord made a 30-kilometer trek by foot to successfully alert 400 First Nations warriors and Lieutenant Fitzgibbon. She reached the area, and when the American forces came up, they were ambushed themselves, and 50 British soldiers immediately forced to surrender. Michael would like that. The British soldiers were the heroes, and Canada was saved from those Americans. We still have to maybe worry about that a little bit. You ever heard of this guy? Paul Revere. Was he on a mission? Right? He had a mission. And the story goes, if I hear it right, I'm looking at the Longfellow poem, that the British were coming. The Redcoats were coming. And in the lantern of the church, in the belfry, if there was one light, it was British are coming by land, and if two lanterns, they're coming by sea. And he's watching, and sure enough, there's a lantern, and there's another lantern, and it's midnight. But he has to warn the whole area, get out to fight the British, because they're going to try to take back the country, right? And so, it was all that. That was all. And yet, through the gloom and the night, the fate of the nation was riding that night. The spark struck by that steed in his flight kindled a flame that, with its heat. So through the night rolled Paul Revere, and through the night went his cry of alarm to every village and farm, a cry of defiance, not of fear, a voice in the dark, a knock on the door, a word that shall echo forevermore. For born on the night wind of the past, through our history to the last, in the hour of darkness and peril and need, the people will waken and listen to hear the hurrying hoofbeats of that steed and the midnight message of Paul Revere. These people heard something and they had to go. I will go. They were not immovable. The life of people depended on their message. Lives were saved because they heard the call and took action. Now, you see mission, right? If you expand mission, Christians are given a commission. Com is with. Like we have union and we have communion. So commission is Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. We're not alone in this mission. We have fellow believers that are with us on this mission. So it's a commission. I love that. And here's the point. And you don't get anything. This is my point. We're anchored in our faith, but we're moving. Always moving. Always available. Always listening. Because we have a word of salvation. Our King is coming. If you come, Brother Alvin, we're singing today, right? The King is coming. The King is coming. So we have a message to share and a hope to give. And we live by that hope. So we say, I will go. I will reach Taiwan. I will reach my family. Because I heard the mission of our captain, Jesus, who said, go and make disciples of who? all the nations, and we're part of the 1040 window people that need the Lord. They might look like they're okay, but without Jesus, it's only a matter of time. Everything's going to crumble. And because of the urgency of the things crumbling around us, we need them to have their faith fixed upon the rock. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes and tell you about an exciting race. This race takes up in, okay, I will go. Amen. Here, have you ever heard of this race? Iditarod. It starts today, so you're late. You can't quite join it, and it's up in Alaska. The U.S. that's, you know, above Canada, where it's really, really cold. And they have a race with sled dogs. Doesn't that sound fun? It's over 1,000 miles going through Alaska, and they start today. So you can hope that these guys do well. It's solid time of year. It's not as cold as January and February. And they're on a race. They're on a mission. Now, it started, if you look at the history, it's known as the Great Race, and it pays homage to century-old tale of the state. In the early 1900s, dogs were the means of transportation for Alaskan natives. From carrying critical goods to patrolling the wilderness, the scouts, the sled dogs, were generally trained to wade through the snow. But there is a virus that tore through the village of South Central Alaska, and a 10-day mission chaperoned by Leonard Sepala delivered a life-saving serum to the coastal holdout in Nome, Alaska, and saved countless lives, children's lives. There's a virus, and the mission was to get the serum from the hospitals down the way up to where it was needed, but they didn't have airplanes that could make the trip, and they had to make the trip quickly and by sled dog, right? Now, you'll see that there were principles in this race. As they do it every year, they're reminded of their mission, but is the mission still the same? This is just a race now. It's just for fun. They don't have any life-giving serum, and sometimes when we start out in a mission and we have a message, and we're giving that message, we feel fulfilled and lives are changed. But sometimes we forget our mission and we're not carrying the life-giving serum anymore. Is it true? And we're just going. Or we're stuck. And we need to be revived, having life-giving mission to seek and to save the lost. And so the original trail, the original principles, The first one was held in 73. So this happened in 1925. 73, they're commemorating this race. It channels the determination and the grit of the mushers. Mushers are the ones who say, "Go, dogs, go!" Selfless efforts and perseverance. Those are good qualities. But all of those good qualities, if they're for the life-saving mission, those are admirable. But then, if it's just for a competition, you have to wonder, all that energy expended for what? For what? Really? You know, and you think of your own life. Why are you here? Do you have the life-saving serum? The words of Jesus that can change lives? Or are we just spinning, going through motions, taking a little job to make a little money? For what? I want to ask you. So it covers about 1,200 miles, covering all the villages and towns. Here is a hero. The guy on the left won this race 5 times. His name is Rick Swenson, and he held over 3 decades the race. He won it 5 times, over 1,000 miles. He had good sled dogs and everything. Until just a couple of years ago, this guy had won 4 times, Dallas Seavey. And in 21, he also won his 5th race. He started when he was just 25 years old. And his dad was a musher as well. And so he took some of the dogs that his dad didn't need, and he entered the race. And he started winning his own races. And one time, he even lost to his father. And one time, someone put something in the dog's food, so it disqualified them because they said the dogs had some extra enhancement. So people get jealous because when the prize is big, people want to cheat, and so that gets into sport. What's that? Covetous, right? We talked about that. Okay, so I guess I told you this thing. He ran the father's team, and in 2009, he was in the top 10. He won Iditarod at 25 years old, 9 days. Can you imagine a race lasting 9 days? Almost 30 minutes there. Then here's the route. They start down here, Anchorage, and then they go through some of the towns across Alaska going north. On the odd years, they go south, southern route to Nome, Alaska. On the even years, they take the northern route, but it's about the same. Now, this is a little bit about Rick Swenson, and he won in those times. He won his first race at 27. Now, if you're not into 1,000 miles, if you're a teenager, you could do the junior Iditarod, just 140 or 150 miles. And they do a little junior Iditarod, and the little kids get out and run the races there. Here's a happy dog, for those that like dogs. Let's next one. Peter, can you help me out there? Can you hit the next slide? I want you to see this dog jumping for joy. Just the right click on there. Or down arrow. So, thank you. I've got a picture of a happy dog, and he's jumping up and down. Like, the dogs love this. They love to run. Isn't he a happy dog? Look, he can hardly wait to get started. He just wants to run. He just wants to play, and he wants to, and this is the juniors. And they go out, and they run their race. And next one. This is a lady who won, a girl, and in 2018 she won the junior Iditarod. So it's open to the males and the females, and they can run with the dogs, and she was a good one for that. Next, the junior, well, go back, yep, 140 miles only up to 17. And then at 18 they can join the big race. And Libby Riddles is the first woman to win the Iditarod in 1985. I don't know if she competed again or if other ladies have won. But the last person to cross gets a special award. It's called the Red Lantern Award. Because usually they're coming in late at night after everybody else has gone home and gone to bed. But at least they finished the race. Because they could have dog trouble, right? They could have break through the ice some places. They have many challenges in this race. Now, here we have a group on a mission. Who are these guys? Yes, Pathfinders. How many of you were a part of Pathfinders when you were growing up? Yes, I see some good. Any master guides in the group? Yes? Oh, wow. I think we have something when our kids graduate from the class. Maybe we should be starting a Pathfinder group. Now, Pathfinders are on a mission, right? And you can even think of the theme song. And they sang the song once, "We are His hands," right? To touch the world around us. We are His feet. To go where He may lead. And we are His what? Voice to tell of His return. We are His hands. And so Jesus calls not only the young people, but the older ones as well, to be on a mission for Him. Remember, we are the Pathfinders strong. Servants of God are we. Faithful as we march along in truth and liberty. Yes, a message to tell to the world. The truth that will set us free. King Jesus, the Savior's coming back for? And is that a mission that will preach? Can you go with that? You share with the young people and they go. And what a wonderful thing Pathfinders is. Now, marching, it could look like this in some countries. It could be kind of difficult. And we can just think back again about March 4th. And it can help us reassess our goals in life. Are we on the mission that we're here for? All right, just reevaluate a little bit. Do you have goals in your life related to the commission that God has asked us to do? Here's another Pathfinders. You know, when they give a call or they give a cheer or a shout, they want to be motivated to do the right thing. Now, when you have a goal or a mission, you got to break down sometimes the whole mission into small bits. Students know this too, right? How many in the first day of semester feel kind of overwhelmed? You get the syllabus and you say, I've got to read all of that, and I've got all those projects, and I don't just have this class. Other teachers think that I want that they are the only teacher and I have to just work for them too. It's overwhelming. But guess what? If you plan it out, you look at your calendar and you make a plan, put yourself a little ahead of schedule in case something happens. You know what? If you do those little steps, you will achieve the bigger goal and the bigger mission. And it's the same with the church. We have those goals, and we are part of a team and part of a group. It's hard to march alone, but if you're marching with others, there's a joy and a camaraderie that comes along with being part of the mission. The military knows this. And they have achieved some amazing things. You heard about the military parade, though, right? Where this proud mom looks down at Johnny and says, Hey, look at Johnny. He's the only one in tune, in step, and everybody else is off. So some of us do march to our own tune. And if we're not in step, we're a little bit of a discordant note. And so we pray that, you know, if by the Holy Spirit, only by the Holy Spirit, can He bring us into unity. Because everybody has their own tune, their own everything that they're marching to. And only God, that's why it is a witness if the church can be on step with Jesus. Because there's so many things that will get us off track, aren't there? Now, figure out how to track your performance. Once you have your goal, once you've broken it down into manageable steps, you got to reward yourself as you go along the way. Have little markers, like signposts in the Iditarod race. Okay, you're halfway there, or only 100 kilometers to go. All these things, you stay for the night, or you have things to look forward to in the journey. You can't just look at the whole race together. And the Christian life is the same way. Some people look at this and they say, I can never do what Jesus did. I can't be perfect. I can't be holy. I can't heal anybody. It's beyond me. But it's being in step with Jesus, right? We're followers of Jesus. We don't have to run this race by ourselves, right? Like Paul, he says, I fought a good fight, right? I finished the course. I've kept the faith. But it wasn't him alone. He always had somebody with him, a Timothy, a Titus, somebody, Barnabas, Silas. Paul always said, come with me and let's do this mission together. So track your performance, look for things along the way. And do you want to know your future? Your future is secure in Christ. He's already crossed that line, and He's come back for you. And He said, let's go again. Now, because I know this route, I will be with you and alert you to the different hazards. I'll be in you and I'll work through you, and together we will achieve. But we all know that if we ever achieve anything worthwhile, who gets the glory? God, we know we're sinners. We know we're weak. Paul says, even in my weakness, I'm going to boast, because His strength is made perfect in weakness. Our champion has gone before. He has won the race. And the future is secure as long as we stay with Him. But if we forget and we think we're on our own mission, then we'll get off track so soon. And prophecy helps us to see those signposts and how we're very close. Why are these goals important to you? If you're serious about achieving, then we have reasons to do so. What better reason than to see souls in the kingdom for eternity? Right? Is there the value of a person? And then also the profound loss if that person is not there. And what if Paul said, I preach to others and me myself I'm disqualified. What a tragedy. How could I miss out? And it is easy if you forget your goals, why they're important to you. When motivation starts to lag, look at your sense of purpose and mission. Stay motivated by also sharing your mission with family and friends. Is it good? You have a goal, they'll help you be accountable and they'll ask you, how are you doing on your mission? How are you doing on your goal? And challenge yourself to do some things that maybe you're not as comfortable. March 4th is a perfect day to start. Do one or two, a few things that you'd be maybe not normally doing. And then challenge yourself to do something else. And focus on what you'll learn, what you'll gain, instead of what you'll lose. Because there's always a cost. Once you're on a mission, you have a cost. And if you're part of a military organization, the worst thing is for the military not to be equipped or to run out of ammunition. They're just sitting ducks, right? We see this in Ukraine and Russia war. Sometimes, you know, the supply chain gets interrupted and people get hurt because they're not supplied or equipped. So what is our mission? Who are we? Yes, servants of God are we. And we're faithful as we march along. The young people, can they be involved in the mission? Sure. Sure. So we think of who we are. Seventh-day Adventist Christians. What does that mean? Are we just here for ourselves? Here for a party? Good time? Well, that may come along with the mission. Attract others. But the main goal is to seek and save the lost, because we're partnering with Jesus and we're on His mission, not our own mission. So who we are is tied with the mission. Whoops, I think it's working. What is our mission? So who we are and what our mission is will help us. And as we get close to the close, Jesus gave us our marching orders. Read with me. He came and spoke to them. Jesus came, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. So He has the equipment. He has the means, the resources, power, equipment for us. And so with that as a background, He says, read with me, therefore, go and make disciples of who? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have our commission. We have our mission. And we're doing it with the power of God. And we're not alone. Even though it looks like sometimes we're isolated or we have losses, we are still in step with Jesus. Now, who is... Okay. Abraham. I think Sister Lewis talked about Abraham in her children's story. Did he receive his promised land?
He will receive.
All his life. He left, but he's always on a mission. He's looking for the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They were in tents, his wife. And they looked for a city, they longed for a city, but for him it was the promise. The only piece of land he could call his at the end was the place he buried his wife. God said, all this I will give to you. But he never received it, and he didn't even need it. He was just in marching with Jesus, following day by day. He was a pilgrim, he was a sojourner, But he was in tune with Jesus, and so he received the reward. Right? Because he looked for it by faith. And he didn't even have a child, but he was going to be a great nation. He just stayed with Jesus and believed the promise. It was counted to him as righteousness. So this doesn't look much like a promised land. A desert, barren, and he's wandering around, you know? But we hold to hold in faith to the land of promise, but more to the promise maker. Because he can provide the land at any time. The land is not the issue. It's, are you fit to inherit the land? Because after they even got into the land, God had to throw them out again because they weren't ready to receive it. Okay? He was looking for the city, right? That had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so like Abraham, he's looking, he has the foundation if he has the Jesus. Because no one can lay a foundation other than what is laid, and that is Christ. And yet he's a man always on a move. So he's anchored and yet moving. And I think we can learn from that, that we can be the same as Adventist Christians. We are here until we're not. And so we move until we're asked to move somewhere else. But we're always moving in the Spirit. Now, some people won't understand where we go and what we do, what we say. Because Jesus said, the Spirit can, it's mysterious to Nicodemus, remember? You can't grab the wind. You can see the effect. You know it's been there, but you kind of scratch your head. How did this happen? And so when we're carried along, we have that devotional time. We're anchored in the truth of God's Word. We could be anywhere. We're agents. We fit into society. We blend in. We are ambassadors. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're not settlers here. And we are on a mission. And together, when I hear the word march, and it happens to be a Sabbath day, I rejoice. I have my message already because it's the message that has rung through every Christian generation. We have a mission. We have a message. And we have a commission because we're together in this. And we have a faith that will not fail. Amen? It's worth sharing. We're going to be going in March a little bit. Now, hopefully next week, by God's grace, we have some women's ministry Sabbath. Hopefully that will come together. And hopefully we can keep exploring the wonderful themes of what this mission is. Abraham went forth by faith to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. He obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city with foundations, whose builder, architect, and maker is God. I don't have time to fully develop this story, but in Nova Scotia, we have a lady who's a good Christian lady. And the March 4th for her became a rallying cry. When she went home after work one day, her house was burning. Nothing. Just burning. Everything they'd worked for, the wood stove got too hot. In Nova Scotia, they still use oil or wood heat, and sometimes with wooden structures, you get a house fire. And so she's walking through after the firemen did everything they could. They were in a remote area. They lost it all. And she's kicking through some of the rubble and, you know, devastated. All your pictures, your family valuables, everything you worked for in life, for what? Now it's just rubble and ashes. But it was March 4th. And when she told the story, that I will never forget, whenever I come to March 4th, I will be reminded, things of this earth can pass away. Things that we put our hope into, you can spend money for, can be gone in a flash. Her faith was anchored in a faith deeper. It was in a person that cannot be shaken. Her mission still was to go forward. Even though she was lost everything, she still had hope. And she pulled her family together and the church rallied and helped take up some donations. And they rebuilt again and she was successful again in life. But her success never diminished. even by losing her house, right? Because her mission was not in the things of this world. Another Sabbath, we're going to talk about Rebecca's story. Rebecca, she's an heir of the promise. And what did she say famously when they called to her? And we're studying with this with grade 8 up in TAAS. They asked her, you know, after she saw the providence of God, are you going to go with this man? Are you going to go be the wife of Isaac? Are you going to leave your parents and all of this? And she says what? I will go. Eliezer didn't want to wait for an extra 10 days. He's like, I'm a man on a mission. And we've got to get back. You're an heir of the promise. Join to the people of God. Yes, a sojourner, a pilgrim. There's nothing. We can't call this world home. But we have a home in heaven.
Amen.
And we have the homemaker, who is God, who's building foundations. And we are already successful, already victorious. You call it a race. You call it a house. You call it a military mission. All of those things, we are motivated. And we will not be moved from our mission. Health concerns, all these different things will happen. We know in this world we will have trouble. But Jesus says, take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And in you, I will overcome it again. Just stay with me. Amen? Are you on the mission? We can say, I will. I will go. By God's grace. Let's be faithful. We'll sing our closing hymn. Notice even the lead on, O King Eternal. It says, the day of March has come. That was intentional. The day of March has come. And what's our closing hymn?
Our closing song is number 422 in our hymnals, Marching to Zion.
Amen.
Let us stand while we sing.
Oh, you got it. Thank you. We need wind. We need Peter and Dr. Ho here.
Join in song with sweet accord and thought.